Is there a link between Darwin and World War One? Well, welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. We've just spoken with Dr. Richard Weikart about this, and now we'll talk with Dr. John West, the director of a new film on this link. He is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute, and the film is called The Biology of the Second Reich. Dr. West, welcome back to Vocal Point.
Jerry, thanks for having me.
Sure. So tell us about the genesis of this film.
Well, you know, it really was a combination of being a big fan of Richard Weikart and his work.
He's yes, I am too.
He was at Discovery Institute.
Okay.
And his book, his first book, From Darwin to Hitler, which I think deserves a lot more attention. And then the fact that this is the centennial of one of the greatest catastrophes in human history, World War One, where, you know, something like 16 million dead, countless numbers, you know, wounded, hundreds of thousands of acres completely devastated. And so we're marking that, and people are asking why, and there have been a lot of articles written on it. And so when I realized some months ago that this was going to be the centennial of that, I thought that it would be worthwhile to try to get and expand upon Richard Weikart's message in a short film. This is about 14 minutes,
mm-hmm.
in a visually compelling way to try to bring his book to many people who haven't read it.
All right. But his book deals with World War II or Hitler specifically, but World War One is pre-Hitler, kind of, but not necessarily. I mean, Hitler was a corporal there, but tie in World War One then with Darwin.
Sure. Well, actually, his book, although it says From Darwin to Hitler, his first book deals almost wholly with pre-World War One, and then he talks about after World War One right up to Hitler, but it doesn't actually get you really to Hitler. His second book, Hitler's Ethic, the sequel to it, does focus a lot on Hitler. So actually, his book tells about the genesis of social Darwinism in Germany, from the 1860s on up to World War II, but a lot of the focus is actually before World War II and before World War One. So there's a lot of story here, and it is, most people don't know it. Some people do know, you know, a lot more people know about the social Darwinism of Hitler and the Nazis. What they don't realize is that social Darwinism way predated the Nazis. And in fact, part of the video, we actually have a pretty startling quote from
Darwin.
Charles Darwin,
mm-hmm.
talking to one of his correspondents in Germany, basically saying that his hope for the triumph of his theory was the support he was getting in Germany.
Hmm.
And in retrospect, that's rather chilling. You know, Darwin was a kindly man. I think he would have been horrified by many of the things done applying his theory. But nonetheless, his theory did get some of its strongest support in Germany. And so you had science professors especially, but also politicians who were grappling with, well, what does this mean for our society? Darwin himself, in his book, The Descent of Man, deals with, you know, if you really think that the way human beings got how we are, sort of the top of creation, is from this blind purpose process of survival of the fittest. It wasn't because we were here because of a beneficent designer said, you know, we want to create someone in my image. It was because basically we survived and, you know, other creatures didn't, and the humans that survived were those that, you know, reproduced the most, and those that who were defective or handicapped or sick, they died off. If that's what you think our creator was, and you look at what we do in civilized society, which is we often try to counteract natural selection. You know, Darwin wrote about this. Look, we're saving people who nature would have killed off. We're, you know, saving the poor. We're saving the sick. We're helping people. We're vaccinating people against smallpox. He actually said that.
Okay, where can I find that? Where can the reader or the listener find exactly what you're talking about in Darwin's writings? You're saying it's in The Descent of Man?
The Descent of Man. He has a chapter. The chapter is numbered a little differently in different editions.
Sure.
Through multiple editions. But there's a chapter where he talks about the application of natural selection to civilized societies.
Okay. All right. And by the way, for those not familiar with the term or they don't understand exactly what it means, what is natural selection? And what is social Darwinism?
Great questions. natural selection is basically also known as survival of the fittest. It's
okay.
Basically that, you know, there are variations in nature. Some are better fitted to survive in certain environments or not. And those that are best fitted to survive and reproduce, that's what nature has selected, basically. And in Darwin's view, that's what got human beings what they are, you know, basically what raised us from the lower animals. It was this process of basically death of those who were unfit. That's how you get everything. And it was a pretty bleak view. He got it from Thomas Malthus, but social Darwinism was, if that's what explains nature, it also explains human beings. What does that mean for social policy? I mean, if we're sinning against natural selection by counteracting it, trying to save people that nature would have killed off, is that going to destroy the human race? Darwin fretted about this. Now, Darwin, because he was kindly, after saying that, you know, we're doing all these things to help who he considered the unfit, in evolutionary terms, to survive, and that this is going to retrograde our race, and that, you know, even the worst kind of animal breeder knows that you wouldn't let your worst animals breed. These are things that Darwin said.
Mm.
But then he goes on to say, well, you know, we're sympathetic, and that's noble, and so we can't do what hard reason tells us. Well, that's nice for Darwin saying that, but that doesn't, that sort of evades the logic of his theory. If you actually believe, as Darwin did, that the great, evolutionary progress comes about through death and destruction, and that we're counteracting that, that's pretty bad. And so you had a lot of people who were applying this to society who said, look, if what Darwin says is true, we need to either reinstitute natural selection and not be so kind towards people, or we need to do something artificial selection, where we actually certain people from breeding who nature would have killed off, but you know, say if you're mentally handicapped or something, and in Darwin's view, that would have been killed off by nature. Well, now we're helping them survive, so we have to keep them from breeding anymore. And then in the terms of foreign policy, in Darwinian terms, you had, well, higher and lower races. You know, which races were the most evolutionarily fit? And in Darwin's view, and the view adopted by his supporters in Germany, white Anglo-Saxons. They were at the top of the evolutionary food chain, and so any other races basically were not as important. And Darwin himself talked about the extermination of less civilized races,
inferior
exactly
races. What did he actually? What was the word he used? Inferior or
savage? He actually used, I think, savage races.
Savage races. Wow. Well, what's the subtitle of On the Origin of the Species?
Oh, it's about the preservation of favored races. Although I want to be careful on that. Origin of Species doesn't deal with human beings, and so some people who attack Darwin was racist, but that subtitle about the preservation of favored races is dealing with species of plants and animals.
Oh, okay,
really,
so that's taken it out of context. Okay, all right, good point. So tell me, is there a link between German militarism and social Darwinism?
Yes. After Darwin's theory became popularized, it became even more popular in Germany than it did in England. And so all the upper classes and the scientists and the politicians latched on it, and they thought, especially the higher and lower races, gave a justification for German colonialism and German extermination of lower races and those that were not as evolutionarily fit as the Germans. And where this played out tragically before World War I was in the German Southwest Africa, modern Namibia, where they basically wiped out, or virtually wiped out, the Herero people. And you actually had the German general say that, well, you know, philanthropy might, the human senses of being philanthropic might make you, you know, look askance at this, but, you know, this is just Darwin's survival of the fittest. I mean, he actually made the application of Darwinian theory to the genocide. Some people actually call it they think it's the first genocide of the 20th century, and it was done for Darwinian reasons by the Germans in Namibia. And then when you get to World War One,
wait, can I stop you? Can I stop you?
Sure.
When you mentioned the tribe, it's brought out in your film that you directed, again, the biology of the Second Reich, that the Germans even built concentration camps to house those African people of that particular tribe as they were exterminating them.
And they did medical experiments. Many people know about the medical experiments on the Jews and others in World War II. What they
Mandela.
Don't realize is that decades before, in fact, the decade before World War I, the Germans were doing this to Africans.
And all in the name of Darwin.
All in the name of Darwin and racial science, and well before Hitler. I mean, what people don't understand, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, Hitler, he was awful, but he was just a madman. And so they think that they could just bracket him. It's not all that important because, of course, no one would be like that today. And what they don't realize is that many of the things that the Nazis did have deep roots in social Darwinism in Germany for decades and decades prior to Hitler. And the really scary thing is not that you had the madman Hitler who was awful, which he was, but that you had many things that prefigured and were doing similar sorts of things even before the rise of the Nazis, because social Darwinism was so ingrained. And prior to World War One, you had German militarists and military thinkers basically talking about the next war and how war was an evolutionary necessity and a biological necessity, and this is how they thought. And we tell the story in the video, there are a lot of stories in the video, of this evolutionary biologist from America named, actually from Stanford University, Vernon Kellogg. And he was an evolutionist, but he went over in the early part of World War One, before we were in it, to help actually stave off starvation in Belgium, and to help as a volunteer. He was a very noble individual. And he talked about meeting German military officials and talking about biology, and he was horrified when they were giving their biological Darwinian justification for this total war and the obliteration of people that the Germans considered inferior. And so we tell the story of this. And he himself was an evolutionist, but, you know, he gives a gripping account of just the German mindset of how they applied Darwinian theory to their foreign policy.
Hmm. So really, in a very real sense, Hitler didn't just arise in some sort of vacuum. He was putting into play a lot of policies that the ideas had preceded him, including the ideas.
Exactly.
This is well known or made famous, I think, actually, from Ronald Reagan, his book that he wrote called Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation. But he talked about how prior to Hitler and the Nazis taking over, there were doctors in Germany that were talking about all the different people who should be euthanized because they were useless eaters. And then Hitler and him, when they got into power, they did all that. They killed these handicapped people, you know, including World War One veterans who were, you know, incurable, or so they thought. So in a very real sense, Hitler just put into practice all these terrible anti-Christian ideas, many of which arose from an interpretation of Darwin, into practice. Hitler did.
Well, certainly that was one of the things he did. I should say, I mean, neither Richard Weikart nor myself believe in, you know, monocausal accounts of history. So, you know, World War One had many different causes. There were a lot of things going on there, a lot of just, you know, things going on various sides. So I don't claim, and we don't claim in the video, that social Darwinism was the cause of World War One.
But it was a factor.
But it was a factor, and it's a factor that most people don't know about.
Right.
And it really was a factor in terms of their self-justification of what they were doing, of why they thought it was right, and not just in World War One, but in their genocide in Africa. And so this is how they thought. And this is how they justified themselves. And so, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, Darwinists go on and say, oh, this is awful. You're making all these accusations of doing this. Well, actually, we're just recounting what they themselves said.
Wow. Excellent point. Where can people see the film?
The easiest place is just to go to darwintohitler.com. and then that will give them a link to YouTube to see it. They can see it for free. And so DarwinToHitler.com. And it's just 14 minutes, and I think it will really change their view of World War One, and really the fact that ideas really do have consequences.
Dr. John West, senior fellow with the Discovery Institute, and again, the director of this film, The Biology of the Second Reich. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.